Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
I am dwelling on the mountain where the golden sunlight gleams, or a land whose wondrous beauty far exceeds my fondest dreams. I can see far down the mountain where I've wandered weary years, often by the ghosts of doubt and fears, broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way, but the Spirit led an airy to the land I hold today. I am drinking from the fountain where I never would abide, for I've satisfied. Well, there's no thirsting for life's pleasures or a dawning rich and gay. For I've trod the way before thee and the glory lingers near.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
As I continue my series of the Battle of Gog, I want to say to every one of you how much I appreciate you listening to this radio broadcast. Hope you are staying healthy and well. This past year has been very turbulent and troublesome, with this corrupt and fraudulent administration forcing COVID vaccinations upon adults and now children. Also, this administration and radical socialistic Democratic Party has been forcing critical race theory, CRT, also known as SEL, social emotional learning, into our public school systems, which is a complete abomination. Hyperinflation has been horrendous since this senile and demonic president has taken office. The constant threat of shortages of all sorts is constantly looming over us. Also, the constant flood of illegal immigrants coming over our borders and the rapid rise of violence on our streets is another sign the Antichrist Party is in control. This may not be the Antichrist, but the Apostle John warned us that there are many antichrists already in the world. This antichrist spirit that exists in Washington, D.C. today is the atheistic Communist Party. Biden and most of the Democratic politicians and some Republicans have sold their soul to the devil. The communists will be the impetus for this Battle of Gog found in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. As this dispensation winds down, these are significant events that are prophesied to befall the earth. Again, the title of today's message is The Battle of Gog. This will be a real-life event that Ezekiel prophesied many millenniums earlier. Discovering the details of this future event is paramount to understanding and differentiating the many future events that are still to unfold as our Lord's second coming is nigh. There is also in Scripture the mention of the Battle of Armageddon, which we find in Revelation chapter 16. Is this the same battle as the Battle of Gog that Ezekiel prophesied, or is it different? What are the similarities and what are the differences? That will be my objective in this series, to disclose the subtleties of these prophecies. We will also look at the Psalm 83 war and the war prophesied at the end of the Messianic Kingdom age, also labeled Gog and Magog. So please listen intently as I continue to untangle these prophecies. And remember, Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The Battle of Gog, Part 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to read the whole chapter, and we're going to try to diagnose and put this into, we've looked at the Battle of Gog, we've looked at the Battle of Armageddon, we've looked at the war of the Psalm 83 war, we've looked at the other Battle of Gog that's spoken in Revelation 20. So we got all these events occurring, wars coming. The Bible says there's wars and rumors of war to still come. And we see them here in the Scriptures, unfulfilled prophecies that are still yet to be taking place and befall the earth. Verse 1, this second epistle, Peter is writing here, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Okay, there's people scoffing and mocking the Word of God, mocking us Christians. I mentioned in Bible study, I enjoy listening to this man for his news, Alex Jones, but some of these guys don't listen to what they're talking about when it gets into spiritual matters. He was mocking the rapture and that Christians think they're going to be raptured out of all this and they're not gonna be faced with this, and he claims to be a believer, but he was mocking the rapture, and so that's a scoffer in that area. He's stick to the news, Alex Jones. Don't get into the Scriptures, and that goes for a lot of the other newscasters that I've been listening to on alternative radios and TV and on the phones and websites and apps and all that kind of stuff, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. That's speaking of the creation account right there in verse 5. They willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. How the second day of creation, that God created the heavens and separated it by the waters, the two created heavens, not the eternal heaven, not the heaven that God's throne is in, but he created the atmosphere that we live in, this atmosphere, that heaven, and then space where the sun, moon, and stars are. He created that heaven. Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. That's speaking of Noah's account right there, the, what happened with Noah. And by most of your creation scientists, they claim, and I take this from their analysis and studies of this thing and reading the scriptures, I concur with them, that when God created the earth, he had a water shield, a water blanket around the earth. And basically, it protected the earth much more than it does today from the solar radiation. And it helped to moderate the temperature from pole to pole and all across the earth. And the earth did not rain on the earth before the flood. There was no such thing as rain, but there was an abundance of vegetation, an abundance of food, and people lived a long time. Radiation cuts down our lifespan. Radiation, the solar radiation from the sun cuts down, plus the climate changes in temperatures, the drastic climate changes that we deal with. And so we don't live nearly as long as the people before the flood. We learn Methuselah lived, 969 years, if I'm not mistaken, if that's the correct number, but somewhere close to that, almost 1,000 years. So those people lived a great long time, and they claim there was a water blanket, and that water blanket released at the time of the flood. The fountains of the deep, also, because the earth was fed by fountains and underwater aquifers, and all the plant vegetation was fed by water from underneath the earth, but also the water that was blanketing the earth also collapsed during the time of the flood, and it descended on the earth and rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And so... So you have verse 6 there, whereby the world that was then, being overflowed with water, perished. Speaking of God's judgment at the time of Noah. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. To God, what is 1,000 years? What's 1,000 years? To us, it seems like eternity. It's been 2,000 years since the Lord came the first time. I mean, 1,000 years, we can't even comprehend what happened 1,000 years ago. We barely know that part of history, what happened 1,000 years. We barely know what happened 500 years ago. That history is just at the tip of our understanding of history. And, of course, we know what happened 2,000 years ago because we believe the book. We believe the Holy Book. We believe the Word of God. We know about Christ coming. But most people don't know those things. So time with God is irrelevant. With us, we're like, oh, man, preacher's preaching another message on the return of Christ. Well, how long are we, you know, we live this little lifespan of 70 years, 80 years. Maybe he'll give us 90, but with God, you know, time is not an element with God. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. His promises will come about, amen. They will come. He will come back. We may go to the grave, all of us in this room may go to the grave before he comes back, but he's coming back. And we have to be mindful of those things. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance, not salvation, repentance. Repentance of sin, turning away from sin. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Now, there's a two-stage element of his second coming. I've mentioned this multiple times, but just reiterate for some of you. He first comes and raptures out the saints, only the saints, those who live saintly. And then he comes, and then he comes and puts his feet on the earth. And that's the two-stage fullness, the two-foldness of divine truth. There's two stages to it. And so, but here, the first part, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The rapture will be sudden. That's why that you have the 10 virgins. The Lord gives us the warning, the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. He's saying, be ready, be watching, be praying, be watching for the return. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Well, when is that going to occur? Hopefully by the end of today's message, I will have that explained to you. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, so the Lord is not going to bring a fiery judgment. He brought a watery judgment at the time of Noah, but he's bringing a fiery judgment to the earth. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person, who's he talking to? You and I, this dispensation? Ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Talking to us, you and I, you and me. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, turn your Bibles, keep your finger there on 2 Peter. And remember, I emphasize the twofoldness of divine truth. Turn to Revelation 20. 21, go to 21, then we'll back up and go to 20. You will find most of your commentators, your commentaries, all your lot of your Bible. And I saw, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven, chapter 21 in Revelation. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no sea. So everybody, a lot of your commentaries point that, well, that must be the same, verse 13 must be applying to verse 1 there. Go back to verse 10 in chapter 20. Go back to 10 and 20. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Let's just go back to 7 and go back even further, just to verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, so there, that's a different dispensation, a different time period. Different dispensation, that's the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And I pointed out, if you remember, this Gog and Magog has nothing to do with the Ezekiel 38 Magog and Gog. This is a totally different dispensation. Totally different dispensation. That's in the kingdom. I don't know. I can't answer that question why God uses that Gog and Magog term in this dispensation of the 1,000 years, but it does. But you cannot confuse it with Ezekiel's 38 and 39, which you have in your notes. That was the basis of this whole lesson, was Ezekiel 38 and 39, because then you have Israel spending 7 years cleaning up the mess, the spoils, and recovering the bodies. And they say the stench is so bad that they have to cover their noses because the stench is so bad as they're cleaning up the spoils that God, and God kills Gog. Gog is not the Antichrist, and God kills Gog. Gog dies and is buried in all the nations that followed him. And they're all buried, all the dead bodies are buried. All the war machines and all the things that they brought with them are burnt with fire. And here, this battle, and again, I cannot emphasize that this is not Gog and Magog of. So here it is, the twofoldness of divine truth. So the earth here in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. God just rolls up the old heaven and the earth. He just rolls it up and then creates a new heaven and a new earth upon which the new Jerusalem shall come upon that earth. And again, the twofoldness of divine truth. Let me point out here again. Here commentators make the same problem, same issue here in Revelation chapter 6 and Revelation 19. This emphasizes my point, my position, that go to Revelation 6:1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts coming, saying, come and see. Verse 2, this is one of the four horsemen that are spoken of in Revelation 6. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Keep your hand there, flip back to 19. Who else do we know that sits on a white horse? Verse 11 in Revelation 19, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were how many crowns? Many crowns. How many crowns on the other man on the white horse? But you're going to find commentaries, you're going to find preachers who combine those. Oh, that must be Jesus in Revelation 6. No, that's the Antichrist in Revelation 6. That's the Antichrist in Revelation 6, sitting on a white horse with his bow. Notice he doesn't have any arrows. Conquering and to conquer. But they say, well, there's two men sitting on a white horse. They must be the same thing. No. The twofoldness of divine truth. You have two natures. You have a spiritual nature and you have a physical nature. Christ had an earthly body and he had a heavenly body. So you have to separate these things out. So going back to 2 Peter... this event, because we're being warned in this dispensation, this is not addressing the kingdom age, the folks in the kingdom age. This is addressing you and I in this dispensation, the church age. in 2 Peter chapter 3. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's a renewed earth and a renewed heaven. Just like God renewed the earth during the time of Noah. Was the earth renewed during the time of Noah? He wiped out the former generations of people that were living there. I mean, he totally wiped it out. You pump gasoline into your car from that dispensation. All the vegetation that was destroyed by the flood made the oil and the natural gases in the earth that we use for our energy uses every day. And what he's going to do here, this is speaking of, he's going to burn the earth. So when does that take place? Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. So Peter is endorsing Paul's writings. And also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13,500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.